Our reading for September 1st is going to come from Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the power working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given, to preach the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery, hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. When we finished up chapter 2, we were recognizing that the Jews and the Gentiles had overcome their separation, and likewise all mankind that came to be in Christ Jesus overcame the separation of sin from God, so that we all became one body through one Spirit, through Jesus Christ, in God the Father. So then we now have that fellowship relationship with God the Father. So in chapter 3, he says, for this reason that you've become this one body, and built on Jesus the cornerstone, and that you've all been joined together as a holy temple in the Lord. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming you've heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation. When you read this, you can pursue my insight. So it is for this cause that Paul was made a minister, that he would bring the gospel to the Gentiles. I realize that if Paul had thought about it in human thinking before he had been sent out to preach the gospel, he probably would have expected that he would have been a minister to the Jews. He was a Hebrew after all. He was a Pharisee. He calls himself a Hebrew of Hebrews. The idea is that, you know, those were his countrymen, his kinsmen. So he probably would have expected to be sent to them. But no, he was sent to the Gentiles. And he realizes that that was prophesied, and then that was God's intention. And so that was a beautiful thing as well, to be sent to preach to the Gentiles. And he says this mystery was made known by the revelation. And when they read this, and you and I read this today, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, but it's now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And then he explains exactly what the mystery is. Verse 6, the mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So they now, in Christ, have the same relationship with the Father that a Jew could have that came to a point of belief in Christ and became part of that body as well. Again, the two of them are united in the body of Christ. Doesn't matter what your background is, it matters that sin has been overcome and that you are in Christ. So he says, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. And he calls himself the very least of all the saints. After all, Paul used to be Saul, and Saul was a persecutor of the church. He's part of the reason why the church was scattered abroad, and he even went to other cities to go and find those Christians in order to persecute them. So he says, I am the very least of all the saints, but this grace was given to preach the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. It must have been such a joyous thing for Paul to know that he has a hand in bringing so many souls to Christ when he was the one that was driving them away before. If there was something that was appropriate, and I'm not saying that we earn our salvation by, you know, making up for things, but if there was something to do to make up for the persecution that Saul had done, this would probably be it. You know, the idea of bringing souls to Christ instead of driving them away, I think he was happy to be able to do such a thing. And so he says, this grace was given to me, and to bring light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was all according to that eternal purpose. It was according to that purpose that God had from the very beginning, before he even created the world. He intended that it was going to work out this way, that Jesus would come, that he would be the Lamb of God, that he would submit to the will of the Father, he would be sacrificed on the cross, and then raised from the dead to be seated at the right hand of God, and that by that sacrifice, we would have access to come before the throne of God and be part of his royal family. And so he says, Jews and Gentiles, you're all heirs together with this great eternal promise and eternal purpose. And so he says, we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I'm suffering for you, which is your glory. So he makes mention of the fact that, you know, he's undergoing persecution himself. But he says, it's not worth considering in light of all of this. He's happy with what's been accomplished. He's happy that God has used him in the way that he has. When we get to reading from the Philippian letter, he mentions to the Philippians that good was coming out of his imprisonment, and that they should be happy about that rather than to be sad over what was happening to him. So he says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. He's saying, I come before him, and I'm thankful. It says, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. And then we have, let's see, four verses here, 16 through 19, you keep seeing the same word being used, and that word is that. That according to, that Christ, that you, and that you again in verse 19. That's a purpose word within the passage here. So there is a purpose of God. One purpose, according to the riches of glory, he may grant you to be strengthened. Another purpose, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Another, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength. And then verse 19, the final purpose, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So the purpose of God is being carried out, and he's explaining that. So it is that reason that he bows his knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, and through whom all these purposes are being fulfilled. So God is accomplishing what he wants to do, even though maybe the world would look at it from the outside and say, see that? We've got Paul in prison. You can't say he's doing the work of God. God's not even protecting him. And what's Paul saying? Paul says, no, God's purpose is being accomplished. This is all together for good. We're all one family, one body. And I'm thankful that I've been able to be a part of that work. That's, you know, Darrell's summation, if you will, of what Paul is communicating here. And notice the way that he describes this in verse 18, that you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. No matter how much we grow and begin to understand the love of God and the love of Christ, he says it's more than you're going to be able to comprehend. It's more because it surpasses knowledge. What is it? How does it surpass knowledge? You have to experience it. And the final experience that we're going to have about the love of Christ and the love of God the Father is going to be our entrance into heaven. That's when we will fully know His love. And we'll fully know all that He has done for us. And that then we'll be filled with all the fullness of God. To Him who is able to do far more abundantly than we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Remember, we talked about in chapter 2 how He built on chapter 1, and when He was talking about Jesus being raised from the dead and that being the power of God, and that power of God was now at work for us. Well, it's that same power here that enables Him to be able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. You know, He wants us to ask and seek and knock. He wants us to seek out Him to do the things that we request. He says, ask of Me. And if it's according to His will, then those things will be fulfilled. But whatever you ask, He's capable of doing much more. We're limited in our understanding of Him because we live in this physical existence. And so to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. God deserves all the praise, honor, and glory we can muster for the things that He's done, for the love that He's shown us. We didn't deserve any of it. We didn't earn any of it. But God gave it anyway. And He had that plan even from the beginning of time, knowing that man was going to have free will, and that meant that man was going to sin. That's truly incredible. We are truly blessed. And we need to share that same message to others, that God loves us and He's had this eternal plan so that we might be saved. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all and come back for another reading tomorrow.